Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking moccasin joke. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing the Bigfoot boogie. Yeah, yeah, the Bigfoot boogie. Hey, look out. I'm up here doing my jingle, dangle boogie. That's me. How is everybody out there in this beautiful Bigfoot world? Man, we got a full house tonight. We got my son, that's right, TJ's with us. We got Roger Dodger. We got Rex, howdy, Shell. We got Andy. We got the rock star who's next to me every week. We got the Swede, and of course, the old anchor himself, Mr. Father Ray. How is everybody doing tonight? I hope to God you're all doing as good as me, because I feel good. Na 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 na. And you know who that's from, the real godfather of soul, Mr. James Brown. I'm telling you, I got stoked. I got to share something. Rockstar, do you mind if I share something with my audience around the globe?
I would appreciate if you would.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing, Rockstar. Thank you so much. Mr. TJ calls me up yesterday, and he says, you know what, Puff? I said, what's that, great son? He says, I'm tired of all the bullshit. He says, I'm going to let the world know. He says, you know, they've stooped to the lowest of all lows, to the bottoms of all bottoms. I says, calm yourself, son. Tell me, talk to me, tell me all about it. And oh my God, what he did. I guess the Bigfoot world has no real good Bigfoot contributors. Because there's only one real Bigfoot contributor in the fucking world. And you know who that is. It's us. The rest of them are all phonies. They're all a bunch of little ding-dong dings, man. They sit there and they watch the boob tube. They listen to the stupid white world net. And they sit there and they play the weekend quarterback. And I says, you know what, son? You're right. I says, maybe a dollar late and a day short, but you're doing a good job. I'm glad. He said, I'm going to let them know about it tonight, Pop. I says, well, you got my blessings. I says, it's the truth. And tell the truth, and you got nothing to worry about, okay? And that's, hey, who's the longest radio Bigfoot show going? It's us. 17 years and going strong, folks. We did it from nothing. We're heard in 43 countries around the globe. That's right. Because the truth succumbs all the bullshit. But we got a hell of a show for you tonight, folks. Let me try to lay it down for you. Real simple. We're out there in Paris, Texas. Not Paris, France. Paris, Texas. We're out there. We decided at one time, I says, you know what? Let's use somebody as live bait. And one man had the courage. We got him on the show. Do you know his name, Mr. Rockstar?
Yes, but unfortunately, he hasn't called in.
Well, then I'm going to blame Roger Dodger if he hasn't. Roger Dodger, you out there?
Hang on and let me find him. I've got more phone numbers here than I've ever had before.
Because they know it's the greatest show ever. What the hell are you talking about, son? You finally
I'm here.
I hear him. Roger,
that's
is that
Roger.
You?
You betcha.
Where's our boy?
I honestly don't know. He was telling me that his mom, God bless her soul, she's down with stage 4 cancer, and he's been taking care of her 24/7, and he said he would do his best to try to call in.
Okay, well, we understand then, and we got Father Ray here, and he'll say some blessings and make sure she gets better. That's for damn sure.
You betcha.
All right, so why don't we use you, since you came up with this brilliance for this show tonight. Tell everybody around the globe about this whole episode and how it came about.
Well, it was a little thing between you and me that you asked me if I could come up with some kind of a good show for plan, and I got thinking about it, and here it is. What we're going to be doing is giving the audience a typical thing of just what really goes on in the middle of a Bigfoot expedition and what the team members are up to and what they're doing on their part.
So the participants are all on the show except the one that we used as live bait. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, if Leonard Dan is out there.
Is Leonard Dan out there with us, Rockstar?
Yes, I believe he is.
Really?
I have
That's another guy I haven't
there.
Talked to in years, but we're going to talk to him tonight. All right, so let's see if we set the stage. Ladies and gentlemen around the globe, get your ears on, because you get ready to rock and roll. Button that seatbelt. Get yourself a beverage, get yourself a sandwich, get yourself a sweetie. Do whatever you need to make yourself comfortable, okay? Because tonight we're going to rock your world. And this was a genius thought of Mr. Roger Dodger, And at the end of the show, we'll tell you what his call letters really mean for that girl last week.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't you say nothing, Roger, okay? But first of all, I want to say hello to all my contributors tonight. TJ, are you with us, Ed?
Yes, he is, and he is on.
I am here. God dang sure I am.
Okay. We got Roger Dodger. We got Rex with us.
We do somewhere here. Like I say, I've got a lot of numbers on this board. And it's just sorting them out.
Forgive him, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's good,
from Arkansas.
we just now getting numbers. See, I am not seeing his number now.
Okay.
Now, who are we looking for, Dan?
Yeah, let's do Dan.
Rick Tottytail.
Okay, there's Dan. Okay, and
Rick
Tottytail,
right? Father Ray on?
Yeah, yes, he's here.
We're getting him on now?
Well, I'm I was trying to find Rex Tottytail.
Rex, if you hear the show, text me, will you please? And I'll this way I can let Rockstar know what's happening. He's been dipping into the shine a little bit. He's making so much money.
Not a little bit.
He doesn't give a
Not
shit
a little
about
bit.
Anything going on in the world. He just keeps saying, Mama, how many more zeros makes a million? All right, so we got Leonard Dan on.
Yes, we got.
Yes, sir.
Chief Leonard Dan, ladies and gentlemen,
oh, yes.
the main man.
I'm rocking and ready to roll.
Oh, baby. Don't gather no moss. Listen, dude, how long has it been since you and I have talked?
Centuries.
Centuries, huh? Those are called light years today. Forget about that other crap. Get it, dangle-fangle. Good to see you. How's your daughters and family, and how many wives you got now, Leonard Dan?
They're good.
You got what?
We're still here in the Four Corners.
Well, God bless you, man. I'm glad to see that you're still going strong. You sound like $1 million, buddy. You sound like $1 million.
Thank you.
All right. So let me circle around. Did we ever get Rex?
I think we have him right there.
Rex, you with us?
Hi, Pop.
Hey! There's a man of the past.
I thought I was the first one in.
There of the future, too. Well, let me see. We got TJ. We got Roger Dodger. We got Rex. We got Chief Dan. We got Father Ray. Father Ray, you with us? Rockstar,
well,
do we have Father know. Ray? I didn't wake you up again.
No, that was me snoring.
Oh, okay. All right. Father Ray there with us?
And you're
here.
Okay, thank you. So all you guys that are on, stay on because just listen as we call your name, because we're going to have problems with Rockstar tonight because he's been dipping his his wick in too much of that shine. Not only that, he's making so much damn money, he don't give a shit. Okay, so without any further ado, let's encapsulize this whole situation. We were out there in Paris, Texas, Lamar Point, in fact, which a lot of action was going on. And I mean a lot of action. And every one of these people that we talked about, my son TJ, Roger Dodger, Chief Leonard Dan, Rex Howdy Shell, who, let me tell you, a lot of this stuff couldn't happen if it wasn't for him. He was our technical guy out there with the cameras when all these big shots said that they were the
Squatch detectives and hunters and all this bullshit. As soon as it got nighttime, they got afraid of the dark. And there was only one guy that would walk down those lonely roads, dark as can be, can't see your hand in front of your face, and said, "Don't worry, I'll go down and retrieve the cameras." And who might that have been, Mr. Rex Howdy Shell?
Oh, yeah. I remember Drama Bob called me Fearless.
There you go.
And that's it.
Fearless Rex Howdy Shell. I love it. All right. So we came up with this idea via Mr. Roger Dodger. And I said, you know what? I don't think anybody ever heard that story, what we did. We came up, ladies and gentlemen, with coming through with doing a deal where we'd use live bait. So we used, and our guinea pig was Andy. Now, as we know, Andy's going through problems with his mama. She's stage four cancer, and things happen, and we understand him. We just hope and pray at the end of the show for the Ray will say a prayer for him. So now why don't we go into – son, TJ, do you remember this show at all when we were there?
Yeah, I sure do. Absolutely.
Okay. Why don't you set the stage?
Forget that show?
I'm sorry?
How could I forget that?
Okay.
I mean,
so
it was raining.
Set the stage for this thing for tonight.
So we are all out in Paris, Texas. We had, I want to say, 22 folks with us plus the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we asked for volunteers for the bait. We had a male and a female say, we'll do it. Andy was the male. And we were near, Reverend, what was his name? He was a preacher down in Paris, Texas. He lived down near Lamar Point. Lance.
Yes.
Right, Lance. And
pretty
he said,
blonde
I got a great
wife.
Place
I
we
remember
can put
that.
Him. Yep, yep. We can. I have a great place we can set him up. We went down there during the day where he had actually had encounters with the creature. And we actually put Andy near a tree, okay? And we told Andy, well, you might be there for 4 or 5 hours. Here's a poncho. Here's a radio. When we put you in, you're going to be there. We're going to all be around you, making sure you're good. We're gonna be, you know, just kind of monitoring you to make sure if the creature comes to you, we're going to capture him. So, fast forward. It's nighttime. There wasn't supposed to be weather, but weather turned out, and it rained really hard that night. The wind was blowing. I want to say there was a tornado that possibly came by. Weather service said no, but we were there. We all know that we were there. Rex was there.
And it was a tornado.
Yeah, it was nuts. But so we had a thermal camera on Andy, and we could actually see Andy hunched down next to the tree that he was hiding under with our thermal, and there was a creature or something. Had to have been a creature because nobody was stationed there, rocking back and forth, staring in his direction where he was hiding behind the tree. And he had a thermal camera, and he could see it. Unfortunately, our radios, between the lightning and all that, there was interference, so we couldn't get communication back and forth. And afterwards, when it was all over, he was going, guys, was that you by the tree? And we're like, no, I gave you a map with where we were going to be, and we could see him. We could see the creature. He could see the creature, but we couldn't communicate. He became our – that's why we call him bait, because he was our bait that night.
You know, story well put. Now, what I'd like to do is have a little enlightenment from every person, and I'll direct the roll call. Roger, go into
– Tom, I've got a 518 person in here. Who has the 518?
I think pre-tick? That's New York.
That's good, me, yeah. Rocky Richard. I'm listening.
Okay. We got okay. Just checking. I'm still looking for. All right.
Can we continue the show now, Rocky?
I'm sorry.
If we have your permission, I just want to make sure we're not going to interrupt you. Do you need more time, son?
I was looking. I thought that that might be Andy, but apparently
not. Well, I thought you
not.
Had his number.
Well, I did too.
Yeah, that's good. See,
but
well,
we don't have Andy.
All right, so now let's go to Roger Dodger. Roger, tell us your story of that evening.
Okay, Andy had filled me in on a lot of things about that night, and he told me about being down there at the tree set out for bait, and that he had seen something on the thermal camera, and he was wondering if it was one of the guys, because he thought that he was out there all alone and everybody just abandoned him, you know. This is what was on his mind. And he told me, he said, Roger, he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, I was scared. And I said, well, I said, you know, I can't blame you. I said, but you weren't alone, you know, because I knew the guys were there, but I didn't know exactly how far from him or anything else. And that's why I thought it would be good to bring in Leonard Dan and TJ and everybody and let them fill in their part of what they know, because if you remember, Pop, you and I were running around patrolling and checking on everybody to make sure they were okay.
That's correct. That's right.
And do you remember the little short blonde-headed girl that we had there?
I do.
Yep. And that night she almost got shot by somebody.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, you remember now, right?
Wow, yes. Yeah,
she come running up to the truck,
yeah.
And she told us that she almost got shot by that guy that was supposed to be some expert with those cameras, remember?
You remember who that guy was?
Not by name, Pop. I really don't.
Ron Milioni.
They all
that's
do it.
Him. That's him.
Yep. Those were the guys, ladies and gentlemen, that later on were smoking cigars and drinking bourbon.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah, was that one of
those guys from the Ghost Hunters?
That's right.
Crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes, the Ghost.
Jason Hanwar and all those fuckers, those fucking alcoholics and dope smokers. Yep.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you. That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah. Okay.
The
now
Ghost
Hunters.
The guys that were
bit.
On fucking TV, you know.
That's
yeah,
it, right.
Fuckers.
Now let's get to Chief Dan. Dan, do you remember that night?
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember.
Tell us your take on the whole evening.
We had this one lady with us, and she fell in the wash, and we were trying to help her get out after that shot rang out. So we were busy with her, trying to get her out of that big ditch she fell in.
What a memory you got. Yes, that's exactly right. What else can you enlighten us with that happened that night, Chief Dan?
Well, when we were sitting by the tree, a big tall tree, and we were kind of wanting to move away from there because of the lightning, and also we could see where the bait was sitting, and we could see these tall branches moving back and forth like somebody was pushing it, and we saw a shadow around there, but we couldn't really see too well because of the darkness. So that was my recollection of that night.
Let me ask you something. An email just came in. They said, Tom, could you ask Chief Dan what Indian affiliation is he a chief of? Now, I remember you were a chief with one or two, Navajo and Apache. Which one was it?
Both of them.
Both of them?
Mostly Apache.
Wow.
That's down there by Fort Apache.
Where is the Fort Apache located at?
It's in the central, right on the Mugian Rim.
Oh, you're talking about Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you
That's where you guys got those badges from. Remember that? From that?
Oh my God! You remember that? I still have that.
I'm a lieutenant
in the museum.
I got a lieutenant badge.
Yeah.
You're a police dad.
Yeah, I remember, son. Yeah.
Fuck,
that's
I got
been
you guys
are,
on the way out.
You guys became honorary members of the police department.
Yes, I remember that. Remember how many people? Well, I don't know if you were there. We premiered our movie at the casino's grand ballroom. They had 700 people show up. Oh my God! It was phenomenal. I became.
I'm going after these tools by myself in the dark.
Hey, Chief Dan?
Yes.
Wasn't it also that over in that area that you and another young man were up in the tree stands?
Yes. And also we were up in the tree stand up in Illinois after we hauled it. Trailer up there with the creature in it.
Yeah, wow. Do you remember who the other guy was?
I forgot the name of the guy that we stayed with.
Oh, that was
house.
The guy from Minnesota.
He was a veteran, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a veteran, and he was from a member of the Ojibwe. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Ojibwe Indians were some of the first Indians here in this country. Did you know that, Chief Dan?
Yeah.
They're phenomenal people. All right, now let's keep this show going. Let's go to Rex.
Yes, me and Don.
You
were just talking. You were just talking about Don the Ojibwe.
That's his name.
Don Sherman and I. What's that?
His name was Don.
Don Sherman. And me and Java Bob, the three of us that night, were way out in the peninsula. That was our assignment.
Yes.
And there was a lot of storms going on. There was a lot of rain, and that's all we had that night. I do remember, though, when we talked about Ron Miliani and his setup there, I think the tarp blew down on him when he was monitoring his video equipment.
Yes.
But I missed all that action. I was jealous of those ladies that got to see that creature go back and forth. I was in the wrong place.
Yeah, and you would have been able to see me go in the lake with my tent.
That's some exciting stuff, let me tell you real quick. That's something that happened. And you know, I had really forgotten about it there for a while until Roger Dodger talked about it. TJ, let me ask you a question. What was the most memorable part of that evening?
Okay, so I was back in base camp. Our tents had been blown into the lake, and Bob and I think Rex and somebody else was still trapped on the other side of the lake that night. And we were talking, and as we were speaking through the radios, the creature started howling. And Bob and them on that side heard it. I heard it from the other side, and we were like, holy shit. But because it was the peak of the storm at that point in time, like I said, our boat got swamped. I mean, water was almost sunk the boat. All our tents on that side of the peninsula, these are fiberglass rods in these tents, guys. Okay? They snapped. They were broken. And our tents were blowing into the lake at that point in time when this happened. And we were trying to somebody was in the tent with the video cameras, Jim Snell, and Rex was on the other side running back and forth trying to, because we were telling him, this camera went out, that camera went out. And he was trying to get them back all online. That was my most memorable experience.
Wow, yeah. I got to tell you, you know, some of the people that have been out on expeditions with us folks across the country, it's just like they just talked about Don Sherman tonight. And what an unusual man. He was an Ojibwe, one of our first Indians here in the United States. And it's right up there by, it's in Minnesota, right up by the Canadian border. And
the Red Something Tribe, that's what it was.
I think Leonard Dan may know. Do you remember the name of his tribe, Leonard?
I don't really remember right now, but...
I think Red Something. We went to the wedding. Remember the wedding?
Oh, no. Yeah. That was the Cree.
Oh.
That was on the other side. That was going west. But I remember that wedding.
Yes, I do. Cree, yeah.
Those were the Cree, yes. Wow. Good memory, though. I mean, my gosh. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. This guy, Don Sherman, he could shimmy up this tree like a guy going up a pole for AT&T, putting a new line up. He had these spikes on with this, what do you call that thing, Leonard Dan? The thing that he was sitting in, that he brought up, shimmied it up. Some kind of stand, right?
Yes. Like one of those pulleys that he used to hoist himself up.
Yeah, that's it. He'd hoist himself
up to the tree stand, yeah.
Yeah, and gosh, he was up
isn't
there, 40 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, easy.
Isn't he the guy that had that bow with the arrow and then the drug at the tip of it?
Oh, that's right.
So that he could shoot the creature?
What a memory you got, dude. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, this guy had a bow. He came from Oregon, I believe it was, and he joined us at the camp, and he said he was going to sit up in the tree and wait until the creature came by below him so he could shoot it with his arrow. And he had a drug at the tip of it to knock him out, so he was up there, but... No creature came by where he was.
That guy's name was John, by the way, and he was from
Palm
Springs.
Yeah.
What a hell of a memory you got, dude. Wow. You know, I got to tell you something. It was the most comical thing I ever. And, you know, there's drama, there's adventure, there's sadness, but then you got to have that comedy. And if it wasn't for Roger Dodger, there'd be no comedy, okay? We're out there, and we come back, and I think Rex was there with us. And somebody says, what happened to Roger? His tent is gone. And then somebody said, I see him rolling. The wind took him and his tent, and he's trying to keep his rifle from not getting wet. And he's saying, the world's coming to an end. The world's coming to an end.
Somebody get me out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you, it wasn't for him. Oh, and there's many times, listen, they've been Roger Dodger and Rex Howdy Shell. Do you remember Rex when you brought him, you picked him up and you brought him over there and then you guys saw something on the road or he saw something on the road and you stopped?
Yes.
How'd that story go, Roger?
Oh, well, we were down on the other end checking things out where they had a little boat ramp. And we went down looking down the bank, and we found some older footprints that were there in the muddy soil. And we thought, well, heck, there's been some activity here. And as we were on the way out from there on the dirt road, Rex was trying to set up a forward-looking camera that he had that would go on the windshield of the car. And while he was getting it up and hooked up and everything, this big creature, I mean, this thing looked at, he was at least 11 and a half, maybe 12 foot tall, and he crossed right in front of the car. And I just freaked. I said, Rex, did you see that? And he's like, what? And I said, Man, I said a big, huge Bigfoot just went off this way. And Rex stopped the car immediately, and we got out and went and tried to fight, and he was gone just that quick, Pop. I mean, it was like he just disappeared.
I got to get Rex's side of this. Rex, were you sleeping?
No, I was driving, and I was trying to keep that camera on the dashboard, and I got distracted when it tipped over, and I looked down at my feet.
Dude.
And I missed it.
You would have had the million-dollar shot.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, and then right after that, Pop, on the other side of the road there, on the paved road, we went up in there looking around, and we had the one that come walking around the trees. Remember, we showed you the video of it.
Did Rex take the video?
Yes.
Well, Rex, how come you didn't know?
We got him from the knees down, and you could see him walking through there.
Wow.
Are you talking about what we did 30 minutes later? We walked across the road?
Yes, sir.
And into the forest? Yeah, I looked at that video. I looked at that video later on, and I decided it was an optical illusion caused by the sun going in and out of the clouds. I could see the shadows. I could see the shadows. And I also had you point to me where you thought you saw the creature, which was actually a different place than what I saw. What I saw was an optical illusion higher up. I was looking like 10 or 12 feet up, and you were pointing, and you pointed the picture.
I was pointing more down.
More six feet up, yeah.
Right, about 6 foot.
I reviewed that camera, that video, over and over again until I decided that...
optical illusion.
An optical illusion. I go, whoa! And you can see the camera where the sun shines immediately.
Right, I wish we could have got that on film.
And looked at the shadow.
Because, I mean, that was two of them within a half an hour of one another.
Wow.
I'm not,
let me ask you something, Rex. Out of all the expeditions you've been out to Paris, Texas, which one was the most exciting, and why do you say that?
Oh, gosh. Each one was checking on the emails right now.
A guy named Buddy has a question for you. All the times that you've been out there, Paris, Texas, did you ever get to see a genuine print?
I saw genuine prints. Yes, the first, second, and third times, I think. But the first time was when who was the guy that was there? A guy who lives there, not Lance, but Lance's friend,
Mike.
The guy that died.
Mike.
Stealth.
Yeah, that was Mike.
Mike. You guys had left. And I was still hanging around because I left my camera out overnight. And so you had sent Mike to find me. So Mike found me, he and Sandy, and he found some prints, I think. And I cast the prints in the next morning. And so that's how the first trip went, and Mike... Yeah, so that was the first set of prints I saw, which was the very first time I was out in Paris, Texas. But, yeah, the second or third time we went out, we came across more prints. And Mike was taking us out to the riverside. And we all kind of bumped into those prints that were there. And
how many prints were there? Do you recollect?
What's that?
How many prints were there? Do you recollect?
Was that four or five in a row right along the creek?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wasn't that the ones that Chuck Creel cast one?
No, that was later on.
That was later?
Roger missed those first two trips that I went on. Roger,
yes.
didn't go on those yet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I had been on the other two trips though.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I've been out there 5 or 6 times.
Yes, sir. I think that's right.
I think I took Roger out there the last 2 or 3 times.
Yep, 3 times.
Yeah.
Yo, Rex. Those are the prints that were off the bridge all the way around the back side at me, correct?
Oh, he's talking about the ones with Don Monroe. Right, DJ?
We saw so many prints, Dad. I'm just trying to figure out where we were at. That's all.
Well, yeah, it was near the creek. The creek was going under the bridge. The road.
Yes, the bridge.
Road was going over the bridge. Yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about. Was Don Monroe there, Rex?
Yes, he was.
I think so. I think I met him. Oh, yeah, he must have been. I met him both times we were there. So the.
Yeah.
That's right. The second time.
We stayed that night on the east side of the bridge, and we were with some other people, you know, that SD dude, and got Timmy, Rex, Don Monroe, Sherman, Stewie of a Tree, and we were on the back side of Pat Mays. Remember where I saw the creature? It was all the way south of that on the back side. That's where it happened. But Rex saw those tracks with myself. And that was our new spot. And it was,
yes.
It was pretty.
And then,
pretty
wait a minute, Leonard Dan was right. Sherman, from his work, brought one of his infrared cameras with him. It was a handheld underneath that fridge. Do you remember that?
Yep, the thermal, yep.
Yep, and because we saw a bunch of prints going out into the water crossing that lake or stream, whatever the hell it was, and then when it got dark, he says, something big is coming towards us.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw that on the thermal camera, and I said, oh, my God. And Don Sherman, because he was – not Don Sherman – Don Monroe was there, and he said, man, this is not bullshit, like everybody was talking about. You guys do it real. This is the real thing. And he was calling everybody up all over the world saying, hey, Biscardi and his crew are the real team, man. They don't sit for bullshit. They go out. They stay out in the brush. They do this. They do that. And I said, well, thank you for that, Don. You know, and until his days are that still living on this earth, he still tells the same story. And how long did he stay out there with you, Tommy, and Bob and the crew?
We were out there all night.
No. I think you were out there 2 weeks.
Oh, no. Okay, so we spent almost 3 weeks, actually, with people coming from all over the country to relieve other people besides me, Bob, Monroe, and who was the other guy who was with us? The four of us main stayed there. People every week came and rotated out all across the country as we dug the foxholes and we were tracking the creature.
Oh, my God. You've got a hell of a memory. And you know who I remember? Earthquake.
Oh, Becky? Who?
Earthquake, the guy that worked at Campbell's Soup used to bring the soup
out. Oh, my God, yes. Earthquake.
Remember him?
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's right. Earthquake. Jesus. We had Becky Sawyer. We had him. We had a girl from Ohio that came down, was helping out for a couple days. We had people from all over the country rotating in and out, helping us track the creature. I remember that.
My gosh. You know, how many years ago was that, Rex?
2005, 2006, 2007.
Wow,
ladies and gentlemen, listen to what he just said. The earliest would have been 15 years ago. Going back.
Yep.
Even longer. But this was our life. This is our life. This is what we've done. And, you know, I'm glad my son is on today because what he brought up had so much meaning to me, so much meaning to Leonard Dan because he's been out there. Leonard Dan, how many expeditions have you been on with me?
Probably about 7 or 8.
7 or 8. What was the most exciting one that you ever remembered?
The one in Paris, Texas, and the one in Ash Fork in Arizona.
You remember the one in Ash Fork? Oh, my God. You know, I got to tell you something, Chief Dan. It does my heart good, first of all, to hear you. And I wish I was, you know, face-to-face with you. We'd have some dinner, drink a cup of Java or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
What we've done in the past, and you know, we've seen these guys come and go. We pray for our fallen brothers, one that I guess was kin to you. Did he marry your daughter?
Yeah. Stacy Johnson.
Stacy, yeah.
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 Does anybody remember him at all?
Oh, yeah.
I sure do.
They talk about him.
They do, huh?
You know, that we didn't even know that he had left from here to go up to Wisconsin. Everybody was missing him and looking for him. Next thing we heard, he was up in Wisconsin.
Well, you guys were the trio. J.C. Johnson, Dave Ortiz, and Leonard Dan.
Leonard Dan. You hit it right on the head, son.
Yep.
You know what hurts me the most, TJ?
Is
to see how J.C., Leonard Dan, and all that crew up there got caught up and tangled with
that
all that happy horse shit.
Fucking, that bullshit broad.
Yeah, yeah. What was her name?
Melba Ketchum.
Yeah, Ketchum, that's it. Not Ketchum, it's Ketchup. And she stole from us. She stole from everybody. Nobody got their right due. And she had everybody quit their job. They were all thinking they were going to all become millionaires, TJ. Leonard Dan, I hope you understand this, because I think you were part of that.
But I backed off and I kept listening to her and something didn't ring right with me. So
good for you. Good for you.
She fucked a lot of people. That cunt. She fucked so many people.
She was something else.
You know,
evil people. And the next thing you find out, she went ahead and got $500,000 and she got
from Sorensen. She stole fucking $500,000 from Sorensen. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, there you go. And the truth comes out, and life still goes on. But you know what?
Yeah.
We know the difference between right and wrong. We're still here telling the story. We're just waiting for everything to open up because there's so much action going on. What's going on in the Four Corners, Chief Dan? Anything at all?
There's still some people finding tracks here and there and screams and hollers at night. That's about it. Nobody really follows up on it.
Let me ask you this. The couple, the young couple, used to walk around with AR-15s at nighttime, both Indians. He and she, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. I admired the hell out of them. You ever see them anymore?
They're still around. I see them now and then, but I don't think they're going up at all.
You don't
all.
Think so, huh? And the big guy that we helped, his own people left him on the road, but we stood with him until he got a tow. The guy that managed
the hamburger guy.
Yeah, what was his name?
Yeah, John, I think it was his name, John.
Is he still around?
He's still around, yeah.
I like
but
that.
But I understand he's kind of sick because he was, you know, overweight and all that.
Yeah. Is he better now, you think?
No, I don't believe so, because he barely moves around now.
Well, at the end of the show, we'll have Father Ray give a blessing and a prayer for all of them. And, boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to be leaving here pretty soon, and these months are flying by. I want my son, because he's pretty adamant, and rightfully so, and a lot of other people out there just as adamant as we are at the Searching for Bigfoot team about all these falsities, these craziness going on. And I told you, you know what, Tom? Air them tonight. Let every people know, and don't hold anything back. Would you be kind enough to share it with the people around the globe, son?
let me get my soapbox out. Let me move it to the table. So, we are still looking for Bigfoot, but we are not fucking as active as we want to be. And the internet, the fucking internet, there is so much bullshit and hoaxing going on. I mean, people daily are throwing shit up on the internet. And here's the funny thing. People forget. This is what's sad. People forget. 3 years go by, and somebody will post a picture and say, this is a creature here. And I'll go, what the F? Are you kidding me? That's a picture from, I don't know, Ivan Mars, my dad, Paris, Texas. This year, you guys are bullshit. There is so much crap going on right now with the internet and Bigfoot. Everybody's trying to, they're day late and fucking $20 short, okay, on making money on Bigfoot. Let me tell you something. The real folks that made money on Bigfoot made it, and we're done. Because you guys are all fucking idiots out there on the internet, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and all that crap. You know something? Do me a favor. Do what you do is good, okay? Don't ruin it for everybody else, okay? Every Bigfoot website, every Bigfoot blog, every Bigfoot YouTube and Facebook group are falling off the wayside because all they're doing is repeating the same bullshit. Because people forget. If you forget, do me a favor. Go to searchforbigfoot.com and go in that little search button and check out us. We were there first. We did it. We've debunked it. We made it real. Nobody else does. Okay? Tom Biscardi, myself, Rocky, Chief Dan, Dave Ortiz, Leonard, Roger Patterson, we were all the beginners of this. You guys are all fake and bullshit. Just the way it is. Stop riding our coattails, okay? Because this, you're going to slip off and fall. But here's the sad part, like I said. People forget every few years, and all they do is go, oh! And here's the bad thing. All the news media, who obviously have fact checkers, don't even fact check their own shit. Because they go, it's new. It's exciting. No, it's not. You guys are retards, man. Stop spreading shit that's not really there. Because let me tell you something. SearchingForBigfoot.com, Tom Biscardi, and the team have been doing this for 20 years. Call us. We'll tell you if it's not. And the reason they don't call us is because all they want is the sensationalism that has to do with Bigfoot. It'll be here forever as long as everybody's alive on this planet. Period. There's my rant.
You know what?
You betcha, DJ.
Thank you for that, son. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people sitting at home mirroring exactly what you said. The only thing you got wrong is not for 20 years, but for 53 years, because that's how long I've been doing it.
You're right. You're right.
And you know
I've
what?
I've been doing it for 20. You're doing it for 55.
Yeah. And the 55. Key to it is, and boy, you were so spot on that when we were out in the forefront every day, every week, when their big national news came, we were the first ones on the scene. And you are exactly right, okay? We were the first ones on the scene. Just like
who did Megan Fox call? You.
Yeah.
Okay?
Megan Kelly.
Megan Kelly. Megan Kelly on Fox News.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to tell you something else. When we went to get that body by those two cops, Leonard Dan was out there also. You remember that, Leonard Dan?
Oh, yes. I remember.
Okay. And they said I was involved in it and all that bullshit. What's the real truth, Leonard Dan? You were there.
Yeah. It was all fake.
Yeah. And we found that out 3 days later when my son and the team thawed that damn body out. And we were out $117,000 after it all smoke cleared.
Yep.
What do you think of those two clowns, Leonard Dan?
I don't know. They should tie them up and put them to a stake and torch it.
I love that.
Hey, Pop, wasn't one of them Rick Dyer?
Of course he was.
Yeah,
Rick Dyer.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to pull off a dead body of a Bigfoot out in Texas.
Yeah, and you heard what happened?
In New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, too. They ran him out of there.
Yeah. Did they throw him out?
Yeah. They ran him out of there.
And then I heard that...
Everybody needs to see the hoax of the century.
And that's
it.
Thank you, Rockstar. Thank God that we had the sense enough to have Mazzola there with us and film everything in real time, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm talking about real time as it happened then, okay?
Brian Mazzola.
That's it. Brian Mazzola did it.
Filmographer extraordinaire.
Yes, he
Google
is.
Google him. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a stand-up dude. So, you know, sometimes you leave the best for last. I've gotten Leonard Dan's best part. I got Roger Dodgers. I got Rex. I got my son. The one that I really want to know is my co-host every week, Rockstar. How many times you were out there at Paris, Texas?
I've been with you in Paris, Texas twice. What is it, Rockwall, Texas? Each time we've been to Texas, it seems as though we were being followed by the Finding Bigfoot people, the Cryptomundo people, in North Carolina.
You know what? I forgot all about that, Rockstar. And he's right, ladies and gentlemen.
The
Texas?
North Carolina, the phony Bigfoot hunter showed up there.
Yeah,
yep, and Timberline Bigfoot.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, what everybody's trying to tell you is that we're first on the scene, and it makes national and international news. Next thing you find out, oh, well, if Biscardi's out there, we better get out there, too. Well, they were a day late and a dollar short. The thing that my son failed to tell you is that some of the people that we've made notoriety for have done TV shows because we have passed on those because we weren't going to be the one of the pawns that they offer them. Okay, we're going to give you $10,000 a week, and you have to pay for all your people and your expenses. Bullshit. Okay? Our people need to eat. They need to pay their bills, so on and so forth.
That wasn't worth it.
We refused it. Okay? We refused it. We went on with our lives to do the real deal. And guess what? Everybody was off of all our shirt tails, ladies and gentlemen. So you want to know the real scoop? Listen in on Wednesdays. But when we get out there, watch and see who hits the headlines. Because they can't wait till Biscardi and Searching for Bigfoot crew gets out there. Because they know there's going to be action.
And then they show up.
Come out, television stations, radio stations, newspapers, so on and so forth. So I promise you guys that we'll bring Father Ray on, and he'll give us a prayer out there for Andy, Mama, Leo, with his problems that he's going through, and for John, J.C. John. Do me a favor, would you? Father Ray, can you come out and give some last sequences here and pray for all of these people and give us some good guidance coming down for next week?
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God, whoever sneezed back there, let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you are the God of all your creatures, and you love all you created. We commend to you Andy and his mother. Please heal them, heal her, and give Andy strength to minister to it. Pray for John, J.C. John, for his sick relative, and we pray for Leo. Leo, his wife, that what she's going through, you would heal her of it, and let them be examples and signs of inspiration to your people, as we all face our difficulties and frailties. Bless Tom, bless the crew, and help. We ask you to lift this pandemic from us. so that people may go out and pursue the exploration of your creation, learning more about the creatures that we know so little about. May God bless us all. Amen.
Amen.
In the name
Amen.
Of the Father,
Amen.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, I love your son, Roger, Rex, Leonard, Dan, Richie, Rockstar Swede, Father Ray, and everybody else out there. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Good night, everybody, and thank you for
Good
coming
too.
On. Come on.
Okay. Good night, Roger. Good night, guys.
Good night, Roger.
You betcha. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Nation mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the fact.
Okay, we're all done. So long.
So long.